All rise for the Reverend Dr. Notorious. Thank you. I'm sorry we have to join here together this day to remember Ebenezer Lipschitz, friend, husband, father, uncle, nephew, cousin. He was so many things to so many people. And like so many today, his life was cut short by a recipe he heard on the internet. I feel partly responsible. It was my recipe. But his pain is gone. His suffering is gone. Lo, doth he walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and he fears no evil now, for his torment is gone, as the Talmud says, here on earth. Let's just party. I'm sure he'd want us to party, right? I said, let's party.
Good day. From the mountains of Wutan, I am Master Limube, your swordsman, who has put his sword many, many things, yes. I am here today to speak of death. As the dragon of eternity bites his own tail, the end is the beginning, and the beginning is the end. This is the word of Master Limube. Do not fear the sword that pierces your breath in battle. Do not worry about the dirt that will cover your face one day. For in the end, there will be a new beginning. The microcosm will become the macrocosm, and the macrocosm will become the microcosm, and all will be revealed to those wise enough to learn the way of the sword in Wudan. So, students, what questions do you have?
I mean, what can we say about Ebenezer Lipschitz? It hasn't already been said, you know. It's, you know, it's his wake. Someone brought a cooler of beers to a funeral home. It was me. And, you know, just were drinking to him and playing mariachi music and dice and just having a good time. Here's to you, Ebenezer Lipschitz. You know, we hope the pasta you made, you know, will feed the generations to come. And I'm sorry you choked on it. Maybe you should have taken smaller bites. I don't know. Maybe you fucked it up somehow. Oh. Anyways. Yeah, man. I'm no good at funerals, you know. Either cry like a bitch or drunk off my ass. Here's to you, Ebenezer.
Mm.
Blah. Yep. Damn shame.
And now a word from our sponsor, Ebenezer Lipschitz. Hey everyone, Ebenezer Lipschitz here, your friendly neighborhood penis enlargement specialist, here to take your gherkin up to a large deli size pickle. You know what I'm talking about, my friends? So stop on by and Dr. Ebenezer Lipschitz, Honduras Medicine School of, that's what it says on the diploma. Those are the exact words. So stop in if you need a penis enlargement. We are the new sponsors here until my death, and then we'll pull all ads. So, yeah. Don't know why I mentioned it in my ad, but there it is.
That's what's up, man. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, it's ask me about your problems, and then I guess I'll give you solutions, or we'll come to solutions together, maybe?
Okay. All right. My problems. Where do I begin? How does a... let me see. What problem do I have that I need to ask another man to solve? You got me stumped there, sir.
No problems?
Nah.
You ain't got problems?
Nah. I got life. I have life. So I don't know, man.
I got
I'm completely drawing a blank, to be honest with you.
Really? Nothing?
Nothing?
Like car problems?
Mm-mm-mm. I just got rid of my, just 2 days ago, I got rid of my 1987 Chevy R10 because I couldn't get it to stay running. So,
yeah.
I got rid of that thing literally 2 days ago, man. So, nope, that problem is gone.
No car problems. Okay.
Mm-mm.
I couldn't fix those anyways.
Oh, okay. What kind of problems do you specialize in?
More like, I don't know, like one guy asked me about like whether he should move out of his parents' house at 22 and go to law school, like away from home, which is probably the only place he'd get accepted.
Mm. Okay.
So I, like, helped him out.
It's not really a problem, but every time I come on Anchor with the intentions of speaking about a particular subject, my mind tends to drift. I never address the subject that I intend to come on Anchor. How do I fix that attention deficit problem?
I don't see it as a problem. I get on here, it's like jazz, man, you know?
Mm.
I let my mind wander and let, you know, the thought or the show go where it's going to go. And then eventually maybe you'll come around to that again some other time and solve it a different way. Because if you were going to talk about something, you never really got to it, then something else is obviously more important in your mind. And so the thing you started talking about then, maybe bring it back another time, or maybe there's a reason you drifted off from it.
Well, considering, okay, so let's say if my idea is to come on to talk about a safe way to interact with police if you are a minority. I don't know, man. I need something better than that. I'm so sick of talking about racial crap. I'm just sick of it, man. It's just no point of it. There's just no point to it.
I was thinking that same thing. How do you want to be addressed? How do you want to be addressed? It's like, why don't you just call me, you know, by my name? I'm a person.
Yeah.
I was saying, it's like, I'm so sick of, because it's like, you can't even be funny about stuff anymore. No. It's like, everything's getting so watered down, and everything's getting so, like, wishy-washy. It's like, there's no edginess to it. Like, you go back and you look at, like, George Carlin and Richard Pryor, and those guys, and, like, how sharp and biting the humor was. And, you know, and nothing's changed. In 20 years, nothing's really changed. I mean, could you really say since Rodney King, has anything actually changed?
Okay, now when you say anything changed, what do you mean? Because in my mind, that is like is the word oxymoron? I don't see how you... No, that's not the right word. I'm sorry. Nothing has changed. Well, number one, social media or the internet has made people more vulnerable and is forcing people to be more transparent.
Yes.
But at the same time, it is also the demise of a completely different crowd of people where, you know, people get in trouble because of the things that they do on social media.
Right, right.
For attention. So
but then all these people are coming together on social media too and creating terms for each other and for people that they consider outsiders or they consider themselves the outsiders. And then they stir and they get each other worked up and then they go out and they commit these acts of insane violence.
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know.
Anyways.
From a different perspective, it's like I see, okay, 2-3 years ago, you had every other month somebody was rioting about something and calling for some kind of boycott about something or what have you. It just seems like there's this young generation with all of this zeal but lack of wisdom on how to execute the zeal or how to disperse this energy. So they feel, you know, oh, we're young and dumb. We got 20 years to recover. Let's go buck the system. Ah, revolt, revolt. But there's no strategy. There's no method to the madness. And so then now you're forced. Now, you've created this balloon of chaos. And now you have to quickly mature to try to make it a political thing. Whereas, if there was some mentoring beforehand, you could have came out the gate more strategic. So now everything that you do is going to be looked at as chaos and inciting violence, or you're stirring up this, or blah, 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 blah.
Right. Well, but, you know, my question, though, is, and, you know, is it any different being a minority now than it was 25, 30 years ago?
And as a minority, only speaking from my perspective, I'm not the spokesman for all minorities, just for me.
And here's what pisses me off. Here's what pisses me off, because globally speaking, if you look at the world, my white ass is the minority. If you look at, you know, if you're going by skin tone. globally, if you look at the population of the world, the white complexion is the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, who's what? And, you know, if you think globally, you know, there's what's a minority then?
I don't know. That's a good question. Is there one anymore?
I wish there wasn't. I wish it was just, you know, hey, I'm Dr. Notorious. Big Sam. You know, it's like we still are having this conversation. So obviously, you know, there's still people. Like, I was just reading a news story about people, you know, well, it was a meme, like, and people flashing white supremacy symbols. And then they're like, but it happens to be the American Sign Language for asshole.
Wow.
But the fact that people are posting, you know, they're still like, it pisses me off. And like you said, because, you know, like you just said, you know, you're tired of talking about how a minority person would talk to a police officer. You know, like, you know, and so, you know, how if, you know, my thing there is, how have things changed then? You know what my dad always said about police? My dad always said, take the lowest GPA in your high school and the biggest bullies, and those are your cops. He's like, typically, you know, they either go into the army. He's like, but a lot of them went into the army, but washed out and then went to the police academy. Like, they showed, you know, they went to boot camp and then they came running back.
Yeah.
And then they went to police academy and that was something they could handle and they became cops.
I can actually understand that and comprehend that.
Yeah. And so
that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, you know, and so I've always had that, you know, and that's not, you know, every single police officer out there. But it seems to be a lot, you know, judging by the amount of violence of police actions against innocent people, obviously there's some bullying mentality going on there.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Let me shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
Here's something that I run into quite often where I live. I get around a group of Caucasian people, and I'm a weed smoker. It helps me stay calm because I'm a very large black man in the South, and I'm in the music industry, and I frequently am around Caucasian people.
Yeah.
So I have to have something to keep me calm just in case, because I never know. Because
white people are crazy. Especially if they're especially when they're smoking their crazy reefer too. They get the good shit.
That devil lettuce, yes sir. So anyway, excuse me. I always notice if it's a new person, a new white person, they feel it is as if they go out of their way to let me know that they are not racist, and one of their closest friends in high school's nephews, brothers, uncles, grandfathers, lawnmower man's mechanic's cousin's son was a black guy, and they just have to be best friends.
White guilt.
I don't understand, like, why?
White guilt.
Why? Like, why can't we just chill and, you know, you just learn me for me, I learn you for you. You don't have to try to force to sound like you're hip or cool, because I'm not going to try to force to sound like I'm more black or more hood. I'm just going to be me, you know? So I don't understand why this, well, you just called it white guilt.
Yeah.
How does one get rid of that?
Good question. I know, I hate to say it, but I feel like since I grew up in a life of privilege, like literally two black people in my entire high school.
Wow.
Seriously.
That's culture diversity, Doc.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll tell you, it's diverse. I mean, it was one of those neighborhoods where it was in the deeds that you could not sell it to a non-white Anglo-Saxon.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, that was like the neighborhood in that when it was founded in like the 20s and the 30s. But even in the 50s and 60s, when that stuff wasn't as groovy, it was still an all-white neighborhood.
Wow.
In a diverse city. I mean, Columbus, Ohio is a pretty diverse city.
Yeah, I've been
there. And it always was. But it was, you know, it was really kind of segregated. You had your, you know, you had your white Anglo-Saxon Protestant neighborhoods, your Catholic neighborhoods, your Jewish neighborhoods, your black neighborhoods. It was, you know, it's all like intermingled and groovy now, but it was like even in like the 80s, if a black family moved into this neighborhood, they'd get bricks through their windows.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, so you're like, where does that white guilt come from? It comes from, because I've experienced myself, it comes from growing up in this life of privilege and this life of being in a neighborhood where you know, because basically where I graduated, you could get into any state university that you wanted to just because of where I graduated from.
Mm.
It's not really like that anymore. But when I graduated in like the 90s, it was like, oh, you graduated from here? Oh, just come right into Ohio State University.
Wow.
Or come right into OU, you know? Oh, you only have a C average? Oh, well, you'll do fine here.
That's crazy, man. And people think...
It was getting so good, too. And we got cut off. Stupid 15 minutes. Well, no, stupid Anchor on the Apple app. Every time I start a conversation, the timer freezes at like 6 seconds. And I have no idea. I need to start setting like a 15-minute timer. It was getting so good talking about the racist community I grew up in. Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyways. Good show. A little heavy-handed on the impersonation. Oh, well. My brand of comedy jazz, you know. Anyways, we're here on Anchor. They may be putting stuff out there. So let's put ourselves out there, podcast family, podcast universe. Pottertons. Let's have some fun. Maybe some people put up some more call-ins later if people want to talk about stuff. I gotta charge my phone now. See you later, podcast universe. Dr. Notorious out.
It's about to get weird, really weird.
Because the mothership has landed.
And Dr. Notorious is here.
Piloting the joke cast into your brainwaves.
His insanity will become your insanity.
His mind will become one with your mind.
X. And let the earworms into your brain.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.